This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 24th of June, 2024. And the HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Check out FFBT.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here today too with the news, including a preview of the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast where we learn tar spot has already been spotted and asking for farm labor policy changes. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says dry and pleasant today. Friday grains and oil seeds mixed. Brian Basting analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. He says the program will not only reduce erosion and improve your soil health, but you'll also receive monetary compensation for putting these practices into place.
Last year, our average payment was $33 an acre. Nice thing about that is you receive a free estimate before signing the contract with the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. We need to be looking to implement a new conservation practice. So the key piece is there's something new on your operation.
In 2023, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund enrolled over 300,000 acres and provided over $10.5 million in payments to farmers. To learn more about how to enroll in their program, check out theoutcomesfund.com.
Tar spot earlier than ever before in Indiana and trying to bring solutions to the table for labor shortages. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Tar spot has been confirmed now in 10 counties across Indiana by Dr. Darcy Talenko's Purdue Field Crop Pathology Lab. According to the map on her website, she was our guest on the Purdue Crop Chat podcast last week with Dan Corn Quinn and soybean Sean Castile. This is the earliest she's detected tar spot in Indiana.
Most of the areas where we found tar spot, it's still at a very low severity level, maybe one or two spots on a leaf. So that's still really low. So yes, we found tar spot now. It was June 10th, 11th, I guess, is where we were. That being said, where we found in our research plots was my April planted corn. So we planted about the 25th of April. So that's the corn where we're finding it right now. I think it's the earlier corn. I don't think they found it in our May planting yet.
Talenko shares her advice for tar spot management from her years of research.
Generally, we're saying we're not going to spray fungicides for tar spot until at least V10. I still want to hold on actually till we get silks and tassels out there really to spray it, because looking at the corn prices, I really want one well-timed fungicide application to manage this disease.
She knows some farmers want to pull the trigger now on fungicides, but she urges some patients and offers a tool to help.
Look at the Tar Spotter app, and we've been working on it, so we're in year version 5, where we continue to pull the weather data and try to predict when the disease is going to be active and moving in the canopy. I would say this last week of heat and dryness, that probably slowed things down a little bit. So let's just hold on and see where that goes.
Take a listen to the Purdue Crop Chat podcast now at HoosierAgToday.com in the free HAT mobile app or wherever you listen to podcasts. We talk agronomy, tar spot, white mold, and other corn and soybean diseases, and still manage to have some fun with it too. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store to download the app. Labor shortages continue to have a negative impact on Indiana's farms and ag industry. As CJ Miller reports, that's why one ag organization is trying to bring solutions to the table.
The frustrating part is that we continue to hear the outcry that these issues need to be addressed, and unfortunately, there seems to be little action taking place.
And that's John Walt Boatwright with American Farm Bureau. He says that's the reason why Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall sent off a letter to USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and the U.S. Department of Labor's Acting Secretary Julie Hsu, asking for farm labor policy changes for both agencies.
The real goal is also to continue a productive and meaningful conversation to recognize these challenges, admit that there needs to be action taken, and how do we as a group of people try to improve the situation from policymakers within their agencies to the industry really looking at solving this problem. So our goal really is to continue to engage in a thoughtful dialogue about these issues.
Boatwright says that Duvall brought forth specific policy changes that could help solve many of the farm labor challenges.
The first is USDA has a purview over the farm labor survey, which determines the wage rates for the H-2A program. We asked them to really reevaluate and look at the farm labor survey to make improvements in those areas. And then the second major thing that we asked for from Department of Labor is a willingness and an interest to really engage with farmers and ranchers and understand the challenges that they're faced with.
Unfortunately, Boatwright says the stalemate on these policy discussions has gone on for far too long.
Nothing of late pertaining specifically to agricultural labor. So we're hopeful that this type of engagement will help jumpstart some of those conversations.
You can read the full letter from Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers need flexibility, which is why Farm Credit Mid-America offers farm real estate loans with flexible options built for farmers. With a wide range of loan products and competitive interest rates, we are able to tailor a farm real estate loan to meet your needs. If you're thinking about expanding your farm, visit us at fcma.com/real estate to learn more. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers, are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online, ihlefabrications.com. Store, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Kicking off the work week with a dry Monday. Pleasant conditions as well. Humidity values a little bit lower after that frontal boundary came through overnight Saturday night into yesterday. I think we're dry all day long here, and then our next batch of moisture tries to develop tomorrow. In northern Indiana, we're going to be seeing it morning to midday initially. I think then central and southern Indiana sees a better round of moisture coming through overnight tomorrow night through Wednesday. All told, through the entirety of the event, your Tuesday, Wednesday rain will be anywhere from a quarter to probably 1 inch with coverage 90% of the Hoosier State. It just really comes down to who gets it when, not the if, but more the when. By the time we get to a late Wednesday afternoon, the entire state's going to start to clear out, and we look for Thursday to be partly to mostly sunny and pleasant. Friday also mostly sunny and dry. Overnight Friday night into the start of the weekend, we do see showers and thunderstorms for about 60% of the state, quarter to 1.5 inches, depending on whether those storms are strong or not. And then we get into the second half of the weekend on Sunday, plenty of sunshine, dry, a little bit cooler, lower humidity for sure. That's the way we start next week. Monday, July 1st, partly to mostly sunny and dry. Tuesday is going to be sunny and dry to start. Late afternoon showers and thunderstorms. And then next Wednesday, the 3rd, we see additional shower and thunderstorm activity. But I think it gets out of here quick enough that we can look forward to July 4th holiday to be pretty nice overall. Basically, the takeaway here, though, is after that long, dry, hot stretch, we are going to settle in with more regular or more timely precipitation. I am not concerned about over-the-top precipitation right now. I think it's just going to be what we need when we need it, a system coming through every couple of days. Temperatures, while they are going to be warm, are not sweltering hot. I think we see and revisit that as we head closer to mid-July. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed markets throughout the Friday session. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Friday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up first. what happened in the markets. I checked in to get some answers with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading in the middle of the trading session. Brian, the corn and soybean markets trying to work the high side and end the week on a positive note, while wheat continues to go lower, just day after day of liquidation there. But let's talk about what is impacting the markets. Certainly, we can talk about weather for starters, hot and dry in parts of the Corn Belt, but it appears forecasts are saying more rains in the Northern Belt. Could that be what's providing Friday support?
You summarized that well, Andy. I think we're seeing some profit-taking on this short positions here as we wrap up the week. We're looking at some multi-month lows in new crop corn that were made here on Thursday of this week. So the market is looking for chances, underline the word chances, for more rain starting this weekend and then again about midweek next week. And then the last day or two of June, actually, there's another chance there. So all those things kind of thrown together, if you will, were enough to pressure corn, especially in beans to a lesser extent. But December corn on Thursday was the lowest price, Andy, since February 23rd, nearly 4 months ago. So, again, we're looking at a weather market, as your listeners know, this time of year. Strongly encourage them to not try and predict price, but manage price movement, because this is a volatile time of year. This year, I went back and looked, Andy, a year ago, the corn market was making some highs on a weather rally scare. So we just don't know. Each year is different. But getting back to your original thought, some profit taking here at the end of the week. The wheat market, Andy, is we're getting some active harvest pressure here. We're seeing a harvest that's a week to 10 days ahead of normal throughout the Midwest. Yields in general are really good, maybe not quite as high as what they were last year when they really set records in a number of states, but they're really good too this year for the most part. Quality is pretty good for the most part. Again, I'm sure there's isolated pockets that had some challenges, but for the most part, really good wheat conditions and harvests here in the U.S., not only for soft red here in the Midwest, but also out west in Kansas. And then another thing I'd add on wheat, Andy, is we rallied, saw the market rally quite a bit there during the month of May on concern about Black Sea production, primarily Russia, with freezes and then dry weather. They've got a lot more rain recently here in Russia and Ukraine. So maybe it stabilized that crop, albeit at a lower level. But regardless, it's certainly taken away all that rally that we saw last month.
Corn and soybean crop condition scores have been pretty impressive so far this year. Do you have any sense where we might have headed during the course of this week for the new report coming out Monday?
They have been impressive so far this year. They did drop 2 points last week for both corn and beans, 72% good to excellent there and 70% excellent, good to excellent on beans. The bias that we're picking up, Andy, is maybe another drop of 2 to 3 more points on Monday. Obviously, for what it's worth, the market isn't looking directly at those condition ratings, but with the market trends this week, I should say, but it'll take a look at those numbers on Monday, particularly with the latest forecast as we move into a new week. For what it's worth, the National Weather Service did come out on Thursday, the 20th here, Andy, with a updated forecast for the month of July. And again, it's just a forecast, but it is calling for some warmer than normal and drier than normal conditions in the eastern Corn Belt, including Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio for the month of July. So hopefully we can get some good rains here and cool off these temperatures, but that's something the market will be looking at. But short term, the market looks at the immediate weather forecast, that being the next 7 to 10 days, and we'll see what that looks like Monday in conjunction with crop conditions. But short answer to your question is it feels like it's going to be another week of 2 to 3 points lower on good to excellent for both corn and beans.
This week's one-day delayed export sales report was out on Friday, and really roughly the number was good for wheat, okay for soybeans, below the corn expectations. In any of those cases, was there any measurable impact on the market movement?
Some encouraging numbers, for lack of a better word to use, for beans this time of year, Andy. Bean sales, as you said, were up from last week. They're actually up from last year, too, and well above the level that we need to reach the USDA forecast. So that would be constructive, maybe is the best word to use for bean exports. Corn, we just couldn't keep up that pace that we've been seeing, backed off, but we're still well above the level that's needed to reach the USDA forecast. So perhaps the USDA is a bit understated on both those, and we'll find out with the July 12th WASDE report. Encouraging to see some end user buying come in here on this weakness in the wheat market, as you said, 21.7 million bushels. In comparison, Andy, a year ago, we only sold 4 million bushels total of all wheat. So at least these lower prices are catching the eye, as it were, of some of the overseas buyers. It's encouraging to see that, but we need a lot more to come in here. And I don't know if we're going to see that with all the competition coming from South America and at least the stabilization of that Black Sea wheat crop.
Exactly 1 week from when you and I speak at this moment in time, you'll be poring over a lot of data from USDA. Tell us about what you might expect in those Friday reports 1 week from now.
Yeah, it's on Friday, June 28th at noon Eastern time. Andy will get two separate reports from the USDA. The first report is called the acreage report, and that will update the planting estimates from the USDA as well as harvested acreage estimates for these 2024 crops that your listeners planted this spring. This survey, Andy, was taken the first 2 weeks of June, so it's more accurate, needless to say, than it was for that March report, which was the first 2 weeks in March. Not to say that there can't be changes down the road, but historically, this is a lot closer to the final number. The reports seem to be all over the place, to be honest with you, maybe a half million acres to a million acres more or less on both corn and beans. I guess if I had maybe a small bias, it might be a few more bean acres with the prevent plant challenges that some areas have had in the Northwest Corn Belt with all the rain they had up there. But I don't have a strong bias either way, but that's the first report, acreage. The second report is grain stocks. It only comes out four times a year. This one will be as of June 1st. It's June 1st, September 1st, December 1st, and March 1st. But this report will give us an indication, Andy, of how much corn was fed during that March, April, May quarter. Very important to see if the USDA number is on track, if we're feeding more than would be implied by the annual forecast from the USDA or less. That's only four times a year. So we'll get a better idea there for not only corn, but also for beans relative to the crop size of beans, what this number implies. So two reports, and historically, I was just going through some numbers this morning that there has historically been a wide potential, underline the word potential, range of price volatility in association with these reports. For example, last year, the bean market was up 70 cents a bushel on this day last year, June 30th last year, and the corn market was down 35 cents. So there have been years where we've seen that divergence. There have been years where we've seen both go sharply higher, sharply lower. We've seen years where their old crop goes one direction and the new crop goes the other. And we've seen a few years where the market doesn't do a whole lot. But I'd encourage your listeners, Andy, to be prepared with that. In my opinion, it would be a terrific idea to have some risk management positions in place prior to the release of those reports on Friday the 28th.
Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number, 309-664-2314. On the Hoosier Ag Today Friday Farm Market Review, down in corn. July ends the day at 435, a nickel and three quarters lower after working higher through the middle of the session. December corn goes to 453 and a quarter, a 3.5 cent loss. July beans, a nickel and a quarter higher, 1160 and a half. November up 3 and a quarter, 1120. And July wheat, 561 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. The meats mixed. August live cattle up 60, 183.15. Deferreds down. And July lean hogs, 92.05, up 90 cents. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.